And I want to go to Luke chapter 15. And God has just been so good to us, hasn't he? And I just appreciate his moving in this place. And I appreciate the leadership, the Holy Spirit. None of us know the will of God about things in and of ourselves. And even this morning, I said, Lord, would you please give me wisdom? And I do not know what you want or what we need. But he knows all things, doesn't he, this morning? And if we just surrender our will to his will. Luke chapter 15 this morning, if you'll stand with us. I want to notice the last verse. And I want us to notice the last phrase of the last verse this morning. And then we will have prayer. Notice he said this, for this, verse number 32, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. And notice the last phrase, and was lost and is found. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for your presence. Thank you for the good singing. Lord, I pray this morning, there's no doubt people here that's lost. And I ask you this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would deal with them. Lord, I pray that you would draw them to an altar of repentance. And may they be found this morning, found in your love, found in your care, found in your salvation this morning. And I ask, Lord, that you'd give me the wisdom, give me the direction that's needed. May the power of God be real. And we'll give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, this is a chapter that is all about being lost. And we know that because of these several weeks of preaching in it. And when you think about this chapter and you look at this chapter as a whole, I'm not telling you something that you don't already know, but it is certainly something that we all need to be reminded of this morning. That when we look at chapter 15, we see that there is lost people all in this chapter. When you go back to verse 1 and 2, there's two separate crowds. There is the publicans and the sinners, the Pharisees and the scribes. But they may be two different crowds in their own classification, but that is not how God sees them. He does not see them as publicans and sinners and scribes and Pharisees. No, he sees them all the same. He sees them lost, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, it doesn't matter if you're a good sinner or a bad sinner, you're still a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen? It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor, if you're black or you're white, or if you're young or you're old, or if you're bond or you're free, or if you're wise or unwise. It doesn't matter if you see yourself guilty or you see yourself innocent this morning. I'll tell you how God sees everyone before they come to Calvary. They're a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen? And so there's lost people all throughout this chapter. And then there's lost, it ends with two lost boys. And then there's a lost parable in this chapter. Now we could argue the point as we've already said, but the Bible does say that he spake a parable unto them. And so there's three stories, and I believe there's one parable. If you think there's three parables, it doesn't really matter. What we do know is that this is a parable. Whether you think it's one or whether you think it's three, it's a parable all about being lost. Amen? That's the point. That's the emphasis. Is that the sheep was lost, the silver was lost, the sons are lost in this chapter. And so there's people that are lost in this chapter. There's a parable about being lost in this chapter. And then there's a lost principle in this chapter, because as I've already stated, the principle of chapter number 15 is that Jesus is driving home the point that men are lost and men need a Savior. And friend, if you're here this morning, you say, well, I've never been a bad person. It's not about being a bad person. The reason you need to be saved is not because you're a bad person. It's because you're a lost person. Amen? You must see yourself lost this morning. He's why I've never been out in the world. You can be just as lost in church as you are out in the world. You can go to hell on the front row of a church pew just like you can go to hell from a bar stool. I'm saying this morning, the principle in this chapter that Jesus wants every man to see is that they're lost. Hallelujah. And I got to thinking about that. What's so amazing about this chapter is look at the last word. I noticed that the other day. Here's a chapter all about being lost. But yet it doesn't end with the word lost. It ends with the word found.
Because the Lord is not pointing these men and telling them that they're lost so that they can stay lost. He is telling them this point so that they can be found. Amen? I'm telling you, Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn this world. John 3 and verse 17 said that this world was condemned already. Amen? It doesn't matter this morning. Had there been no Savior, we'd have still went to hell. God didn't send us to hell. Sin is what sends man to hell. I'll tell you, but Jesus Christ, God the Father, sent a Savior. You know why? Because God doesn't want men to be lost. The whole chapter tells us about being lost. And I'll tell you, when you get to the last word, God doesn't end this chapter with about being lost. He ends it about being found this morning. I want to preach a few minutes this morning on this subject, on God's lost and found section in the Bible. Amen? God's lost and found chapter in the Bible. You see, when we come to this chapter this morning, that's really what this is. This is a chapter about the lost and the found. Amen? This is the lost and found. Maybe that's a better title. The lost and found chapter of the Bible. Yeah, I'm making it up as I go. Amen? But it's all right. God's lost and found chapter in the Word of God. This is the lost and found section here in the Word of God. And so God is talking about being lost, but He's also talking about being found. And I got to thinking about that. You know, sometimes things are lost for different reasons, aren't they? You see, some things are lost because they are forgotten. Somebody gets up and goes to the car, and between here and the car, they lose their pocketbook, or they lose their wallet, or they lose their cell phones. They just forgot. Maybe they left it in the pew and somebody else picked it up. They left their Bible there and somebody else picked it up by mistake and carried it off. And so they lost that Bible, not because they wanted to. They forgot where it was. They left it where they put it. Amen? And so some things are lost because they are forgotten. Some things are lost because they are forsaken. You know, just like people eat candy and they lose the wrappings in the pews. Well, that ain't like losing your wallet. Somebody say amen. If you lost your wallet, you'll be back. But nobody comes back and say, you know, I lost some candy wrappings in the pews. Or they stuff them down in the seats and we have to dig them out. I know I'm preaching on everything this morning. You know, they didn't lose them because they forgot them. They forsook them is what they did. They got what was good out of it, and then they just left it there for somebody else to get rid of it. They just walked away and left it. Hey, that's what the devil does, amen? He takes everything good out of your life that God ever gave you, and then he just leaves you on the wayside. He forsakes you. Some people are lost because they're forgotten. Some people are lost because they are forsaken. And some people are lost because they are fallen. Now, every man's fallen. We know that. But you walking down the sidewalk and you drop something. I was walking in the grocery store yesterday and there laid a quarter. And a lady was coming right behind me and I saw it and just kept walking and she grabbed it. I don't know why I didn't pick it up, but I just thought, you know what, I'm not that rich, don't think that. But I thought, you know what, somebody's going to grab that quarter. Maybe somebody needs it more. And she grabbed it right behind me. That quarter, somebody didn't lay that quarter there and say, somebody needs it, so I lay it on this mat right by the door. No, it fell out of a pocketbook. It fell out of a pocket. It fell out of something. And so, why is it laying there? Because it's lost. It had fallen. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you, man sinned in the garden. He fell in the garden. And we're lost because we're fallen. We fail, all of us. We're a fallen race. We've all fallen. We were born in iniquity. We've all been forsaken and forgotten in this world. Some things are lost because they're fractured. They're broken. You know, people have a tendency to get rid of things or misplace or lose things because it's broken. I remember when I was a kid, one time my grandmother bought me two little toys. I won't tell you what they are, but she bought me two toys. And I couldn't decide which one to play with, so I did the most logical thing when you're 7 years old. I went and got a brick and destroyed one of them. And then I got to thinking about that. I thought, if she finds out what I did, it was just confusing to play with. I know that's stupid, but boys are stupid sometimes. And I broke one of them. And then I didn't think about it till after I broke it. I thought, you know what? If she finds out, she's going to do to me what I did to this toy. So what did I do? I just left it there. I didn't need it anymore. You buy something and it breaks. You're like, well, I'm done with that. And you just throw it to the side. It's lost. You don't care what happens to it. You're not going to try. It's broken. Some things are lost because they're fractured. There's a lot of lost people out in this world. They're broken. I know in a sense every man is broken because of sin. But some people, drugs has broken them. Some people, perversion has broken them. Some people, they never had a leg up or a chance in life. Maybe things happened to them at an early age beyond their control. And it sent them spiraling out of control. And they went down some road they never would have went down because somebody broke them along the way, and they're lost because they have been broken. And some people are lost because they're just flawed. They were defected from the very beginning. Yeah, I remember a young man who had a handicap. And I remember as a boy coming up, I didn't realize it because I was so young at the time, but as I look back, I always thought of him to be a very mean boy, a very angry boy. But I look back on his life and I think about, and I don't know everything about his life, but I think about what he went through and what he must have went through. I can only imagine in my mind what he must have had to go through. And they were not a family. They didn't know God neither. By all means, maybe he's saved today. I do not know what happened to him. But because of the things that had transformed in his life physically beyond his control, because of the suffering he had, the humiliation he had to go through, because of how society treated him, you know, he never really had a good chance in life. And there's a lot of people like that when we bump into them, they're just lost. I mean, we have to see people the way God sees them. When you look at people through those lenses, some are just broken. Some are just flawed in life. We're all flawed in a sense because of sin. I understand that. But some people, you would agree, have had a better chance in life than what other people have had. And they're lost without ever being given any hope whatsoever. And I'm saying this morning, there's reasons why different things are lost. And the elder brother had no appreciation for what was found, being his other brother, because he had no understanding of what it means to be lost. You see, the reason the father could have such a celebration over this younger son coming home and not be mad about what he lost, the material things he lost, and not be mad about all that he wasted, and not be mad about how his life had turned out. The reason the father could rejoice in that boy coming back after he had lost everything is because the father understood what it meant to be found. Amen? And when you understand what it means to be found, it makes you appreciate it. What I'm saying is a lost man sitting here this morning, or a lost lady sitting here this morning, listen, you may enjoy a little bit of the singing, the melody, the tune, but this doesn't mean anything to you like it means something to us. Amen? I'm telling you, we can sing it with music, we can sing it without music. Amen? It can be a choir, it can be a solo, it doesn't really matter, because what weighs heavy on our heart, what thrills our soul when we sing them songs, it's not the music, it's not the melody. All of that is skill that God has given. I thank God for that. I'm telling you, we understand what we're singing about. And because we have an understanding, we have an appreciation. Amen? I'm telling you, you can sing Amazing Grace with music. You can sing it without music. You can let a choir sing it. You can let an individual sing it. You can sing it in tune. You can sing it out of tune. But it'll still speak to our heart. It'll still bless our soul. You know why? Because we understand what those words mean. And when you have an understanding of what it means to be lost, you have an appreciation what it means to be found. Hallelujah. A lost man sitting here would say, well, I don't get what you're saying, preacher, because you've never been found. Brother, when you get found, it makes all the difference in your world. Amen. And this is why lost people don't understand it. They're still lost. Before I got saved, I didn't understand what the fuss was about. I didn't understand why people wanted to go to church three times a week. Even though I'd ride the bus on Sunday, I thought, man, they're going back Sunday night and Wednesday night. I don't know what that crowd's getting out of that. I don't know why they want to keep going to church. I mean, I like to go to church for the food, and I like to go to church for the snacks, and I like to go to church for whatever they would give me. Amen. And then I started going. You say, what? is that wrong? No, it's not wrong. I'm going to tell you why. Because when you're hungry, thank God, it means something. Amen? And you know, Jesus fed the poor, didn't he? Yeah, I think that's right to do that if that's the ministry of the church that feels led to do. But I'll tell you, after a while, it wasn't about candy canes and it wasn't about what they were going to give me. I found out, man, them people really love me. Those people, they treat me good. Those people are kind. And boy, then I started going to church for the people. I still wasn't saved. And I still wasn't going for the right reason. But you notice what you said, what's happening? Just getting a little closer to Calvary is all I was doing. Just a little closer to Calvary. It started with a candy cane. And then it started with, man, them people really love me. They really care about me. And then one day the Holy Ghost came knocking. Amen. And I saw myself a lost sinner. I thought, dear God, I'm in trouble. I'm going to hell's where I'm going. I don't have what these people have. I don't got what they got. I'm telling you, thank God. Listen, I went back in that little nursery, and by the good grace of God, I went in lost. But I came out found. Hallelujah. I went down a sinner, but I came up a saint. I went down on my way to hell, but I came up on my way to heaven. I went down condemned, but I came up forgiven, praise God. I'm telling you, I'm not what it used to be. And if you're saved, you're not what you used to be. And it was one thing to be lost, but it's a better thing to be found. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm found this morning. You say, preacher, you're not much. No, and I'll agree with that 100%, but I am found. I like that song. The songwriter said, I once was lost. I didn't tell Brother Dathan what to sing this morning. I never do unless I get a song on my heart. But it's not a mistake. It's not a coincidence that the choir sing the song, I'm glad I got lost so I could be found. You say, that just happened. No, it don't happen. God knew what I was preaching on this morning. And three little things I see here in this phrase. Number one, I see the value of what is lost. He's not talking, when you go back through the chapter, there's a lost sheep, there's a lost silver, and there's a lost son. And when you think about the three that are lost, it's one thing to lose a sheep, but there's 99 more. It's one thing to lose a piece of silver, but it's a different thing altogether when you lose a son or you lose a soul. The value of what is lost. I think you'll agree with me that the boy being lost is of greater value than a sheep being lost. The boy being lost is of a greater value than a piece of silver being lost. When you think about this boy, he has lost the value of him. The father understood the value of what is lost. He is a lost sinner, and he is a lost son, and he is a lost a person out in this world. He doesn't even know that he's lost. He is just like the sheep that wandered and the coin that has no conscience. This boy doesn't have any conscience. He's not thinking about what can happen to him. He thinks he's going in the right direction. You know, that's how lost people think. They think they're right. They think they're going the right way. But it takes the Lord to show them. You know, the Bible says this boy came to himself. You know what that coming to yourself is? It's the light getting turned on. When a sinner gets under conviction, they come to themselves. He really saw himself for who he was. And he realized that he sinned against heaven and before thee. He got a God conscience about him. And sinner, I want to tell you this morning that God values your soul above anything in this world. You see, that's why the Father could rejoice, because he knew that the soul of his son was worth more than anything he could ever waste out there in this world. The Father would have sold the entire farm. He would have gave everything on the farm for both of them boys. You know why? Because he understood the value of what was lost. Now, if you're here this morning, you're not saved. You need to understand, there's a part of you. You are body, soul, and spirit. And your spirit's dead. You don't know God this morning. You don't understand and you don't enjoy God because you're not saved. You're miserable. But there's a part of you that God, the only reason you have a spirit this morning is because God made you in His image. When Adam was laying on the ground, God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. Adam means red clay. Now, Adam wasn't white. He said, what color? I don't know. It wasn't there, but I'm going to guess he was red. He said, what is that? I don't know. But he was
He's formed out of the dust of this earth. He was clay. And God, what does clay look like? And he took that clay and he formed. That means Adam had clay eyes, he had a clay lung, he had a clay heart, he had clay organs, kidneys. His body was clay and he was laying there and he was lifeless. You realize there's no value to that? I mean, God created it. I'm not minimizing that. But what I'm saying is eternally, there's no value to it. It's a clay image is what it is laying there. It's just a lump of clay. And what made him different, God formed him out. Can you imagine the hand of God, the same hand that formed the rocks and the rivers? He spoke all that into existence. But the same hand reached down and formed man into his own image. He created man. But he's just a lump of clay. And what gave Adam value was when God leaned over and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God only has one kind of life, and you know what that is? He has eternal life. And when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, the Bible says he became what? A living soul. God gave him something that the animal kingdom didn't have. He gave him something that the planetarium kingdom did not have. He gave him a soul. And you know what? You and I are descendants of Adam's race. And so we have sin in our blood, in our veins. We are sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. But before we were sinners by choice, we're sinners by nature. This morning, I tell you, God gave us a soul. You have a soul. And your soul is worth more than all the money this world could ever muster up. Your soul is worth more than all the pleasures this world could ever offer you. Your soul this morning is the one thing that's going to live on when your body dies. And when they put you in the ground, the soul of man shall never die. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Why is that? Because God gave you something that's eternal, and you're going to live forever in eternity somewhere. You're either going to live forever in heaven in eternity, or you're going to live in hell, because God gave you an eternal soul, because the breath of God is eternal life. Where are you going to spend eternity? Friend, do you value your soul? Is it worth more than the things of this world? Would you sell your soul to the devil this morning for sin? I was eating in a barbecue restaurant years ago, right here in Chattanooga. And my wife and I were sitting there. They had pictures all over the wall of famous musicians, and I couldn't tell you this musician's name. I can't even remember it. And if you know, please don't say it. But I was sitting there, and right the picture that was there right beside the little table we were sitting at on the wall, it was autographed by this man, and it told the story underneath of how that he sold his soul to the devil by his own testimony so that he could play this guitar so well. And when people said to him, said, how did you learn to play it so well? That was his testimony. He sold his soul to the devil. Now, when we think about that, that sends a chill up our back this morning, doesn't it? But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people that have sold their soul to the devil. They just never told it. Some have sold their soul to the devil because they were a rebel and they wanted to do their own thing. Some, they're holding on to some sin that they don't want to let go of, and they're willing to let that sin, they're willing to gamble their soul one more day and take a chance on that sin sending them to hell. My dad took a long time getting saved, and he wanted to be saved. And you've heard me tell it, and I'm not telling it to repeat myself. I'm telling it because it just fits. He gave himself to alcohol at a young age. And what he gave himself to became shackles to him that he couldn't hardly turn loose of. And it took salvation and the grace of God to get out from under that sin. Young people, never drink a drop. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible teaches total abstinence. I hate that stuff. I preach against it as much every chance I get. I hate it for personal reasons, spiritual reasons, all the above this morning. But I want to say to you this morning, that's what any sin will do.
It will bind you to the point that you'll say, I can't let go of this. I can't let go of this. I don't want to let go of this. What you're saying is you value it more than your soul. But 5 seconds, not even 5 seconds, 1 second into hell, when the flames of hell engulf your body, you're going to think back and say, what a fool I was. That it wasn't worth it all. I'm telling you why. Because your soul is so valuable this morning. So valuable. The value of what is lost. Then secondly, notice the vastness of what is notice the vastness of where something is lost. Not only the value of what is lost, but notice the value or the vastness of where something is lost. You see, there's a difference this morning in losing something in your closet and than losing something in the mail. You lose something, so I lost this in my closet. Well, that might be a vast place for some ladies, amen. But it's not the same as losing something in the mail, is it? I think you'll agree with me, something lost in a closet versus something lost in the mail, it's really lost in a woman's closet, amen? But I want to tell you something, it's really lost in the mail. What it means, there's a little bit of hope you might find it in the closet, amen? If you just keep on digging and you keep on looking, you may have to tear everything out, but you're going to probably find it if it's in the closet. But I tell you, if it's lost in the mail, there's a chance, there's a possibility you will never see it again. What's the difference? Because of where it's lost. There's a difference in something being lost in a store or someone being lost in a store. You take, you know, that's why I don't go shopping with my wife. I can't find her. Where are you going to be at? I'm just going to be right here in this area. You know how hard it is to find a woman in that area? And so now I said, look, I'm going to be right here because I know where I'm going to be at. You come get me when you're done. I'm not searching no more. But there's different. You ever try to look for somebody in a mall or a store? And you know where they're at? If you're over here on this side, they're on that side. And you go up every single aisle looking for them. And while you're doing that, guess what? They're doing this right here. And then you get all the way over here and they're all the way over here, right? And then you come back, and then they come back this way because they forgot something. And you're like, I went all over the store. I can't find them. They're lost in it. But you know they're in the store, don't you? But there's a difference between being lost in a store and being lost in a wilderness. There's hope in that store. There's no hope. Where this boy is lost. The sheep wandered in the wilderness. The coin is lost in the house. But you'll say, well, that wilderness is a vast place. Yeah, but the boy's lost in this world. He went into a far country. You see, that shepherd went out into that wilderness because he knew that sheep wandered in that wilderness. He saw him go out. He knew he was in that wilderness. That woman knew that coin was lost in that house. But that boy, the world is such a vast place. There's so many different avenues. There's so many different places that boy could be. He's so lost. And I tell you, when people get lost in this world, they never consider the dangers of a lost world. They never think about the deception of a lost world. They never think about the doctrine of a lost world. Hey, the world's got a different belief system. The world's got a different doctrine. They'll change your way of thinking. They never think about the devils of this lost world. You know what's wrong with some people? They're just full of the devils. What's wrong with them? Why do they do the things they're doing? That people's got, listen, there's a pill for everything. There's a diagnosis for everything. But I'll tell you something you don't hear that we all used to hear years ago when people would do, just terrible things out there. You know what our parents and our grandparents and society said? They're full of the devils. What's wrong with them? Now they say, no, there's a diagnosis for that. And there's a pill for that diagnosis. I'll tell you something. People are demon-possessed today too. At Mark chapter 5, still real. Can I get an amen right there? That guy wasn't cutting himself and crying in the tombs and stripping off naked because he had some kind of, you know, psychological disease or because he had something, you know, some imbalance. I think people have read so much. And you say, does it exist? Sure it exists. But I'm going to tell you something. Society has learned how to cope and they have learned how to just check the box on everything because they don't want you to think there's devils in this world. And I'm going to tell you why people murder their whole families. I'm going to tell you why they murder their children. I'm going to tell you why they drive into a restaurant somewhere and kill people. people. I'm going to tell you why they do all those things. You know why? Because they're full of the devil. A lot of them is what's wrong with them. Amen? You say, Brother Gravity, don't you think there could be a chemical imbalance? Oh, I believe there can be a physical problem. But we need to get out of the physical realm, and we need to realize there's a spiritual problem. There's a spiritual warfare, and there's some things pills are not going to fix. They're going to have to get a good old-fashioned dose of salvation. Amen. And I know that ain't popular, but I'm going to tell you something. It's Bible this morning. You just read the Gospels of how many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus and how many demon-possessed people came to Jesus. You know why? Because the devil was real then and the devil's real now. Amen. I heard Brother Allen say this many, many times. And I remember it as a boy growing up. You would see dogs that were mad. You remember seeing mad dogs? And they would come and they would be, I mean, you could just tell they were mad. You know, I saw two mad dogs about a year ago standing right here on the front porch of this church one night. And some of you may have seen them too. You saw them. Them dogs were mad. You say, how do you know they were mad? I'll tell you how I know they was mad. Or how I know that. They were standing down there, all the way down there at the sign. And when I stepped out on the porch, and they saw me, not because of me, but when they saw me standing there, them dogs in a rage come running down the road. Well, I was fixing to get in my truck. And so I thought, you know, I hate it, but bring it on. Amen. That Silverado will do a whole lot more damage than what you can do. Amen. I know some of y'all looking pinking right now. But I thought, you know, you said, why you say, because I think about all these kids running around here. I'm not worried about Fifi right now. Amen? I think about all these kids running around here. Them dogs right there would hurt somebody. And they were coming down that road, and I thought, I'm going to tell you something. I thought, Jack, I ain't slowing down for you. And I thought they would turn and run, but they never did. I saw them one other time, and I'm going to tell you something. When they saw me, they did the same thing. They started running. He said, what'd you do? I got in my vehicle pretty quick this time. He said, well, mad dogs. Why don't we see that much more? You know why? Think about Mark chapter 5. Where'd them demons want to go? They wanted to go on them pigs, didn't they? Them animals. But you know what? Them devils don't have to have animals anymore. There's enough people. They can get in people now more than ever. Movies, video games, music, it just goes on and on, doesn't it? Amen. So much is filtering in people's mind. They play all that junk. They see all that junk. They watch all that junk. They listen to all that junk. You know what it does? I'm telling you something. It demoralizes. It desensitizes people. What you put in your mind is what's going to get in your heart, and it's who you're going to be as a man thinketh in his heart. Amen. And so they start thinking that stuff down in their heart. I'm going to tell you something. I don't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to go kill my whole family, or I'm going to go do this. Oh, no. I'm going to tell you something. Somewhere's down the line, they let things come in. They let devils come into their life. And I'll tell you, you know why it's quiet right now? Because the devil don't like it, friend. Amen. He don't like that kind of preaching. But I'm going to tell you something. That's the problem. This is a demon-possessed generation. And the only thing that's going to help this other generation is to hear some old-time leather-lung Holy Ghost heaven-sent preaching. Amen. It's still real. It's still real today. And I think about this, the vastness of being lost. I'm going to tell you something. If you go out here and you get lost in this world, you are lost in a place that's a lot larger than you are. And if you think you'll find your way back on your own, you're just one of many that never do. See, a person can lose their mind out in this world, their purity, their direction. They can lose their hope. You ever seen people with just lost all hope? They can lose their finances, their materials. They can lose their family. They can lose their friends. They can lose their life. And they can lose their soul. There's the value. There's the vastness. But then I want to close with this. There's the vision for something or someone that is lost. You know what I love about verse number 32? Two things. I love the Father in verse 32. Because it's the Father speaking. And this verse doesn't end with a negative. It ends with a positive. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost. But look at this. Is found. In such a dark world, in a dark picture, it ends on such a beautiful note, doesn't it? Because it doesn't end with about someone being lost. It ends with someone being found. And the only reason it ends with someone being found is because there is someone who had a vision for that one that was lost. The Father, He never kept looking for that son, did He? He didn't go to where the son was. He didn't become who the son was. But I'll tell you what He did. He kept looking for that boy. And if you're lost, I want to tell you something. The Father's looking for you this morning. He kept longing for that boy. He wanted that boy to come home. And when that boy come home, that's all that mattered. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're lost, if you're saved but you lost your way and you're backslid, if you're lost and you've never been saved and your soul is lost, I want to tell you this morning, the Father, He's longing for you to come. He'll stretch His arms out. Hey, He'll take anybody. If you'll come, He'll take any sinner. The Father is still looking. He had a vision. He could see that boy coming down the road before he ever got there. Hallelujah. So how could he see that boy when he wasn't coming? It was in his heart. He had a longing. He had a love. He kept longing for that boy. He kept loving that boy. He kept looking for that boy. I want to tell you this morning in closing, you may be lost, but the good news is you don't have to be lost another day. Do you realize that? If there's 10 people lost in this building this morning, look at me. If there's 10 people lost, guess what? 10 people could be found this morning. If you're here and you say, I've been lost for 50 years, you don't have to be lost 50 more seconds. I believe God will save you. If you'll get out of your seat, I believe the Lord will meet you down in the middle of the aisle. He'll save your soul before you even get to this altar. If you'll say, I am lost, I do need to be saved, then you can be found. Nobody has to go to hell right now. You don't have to go to hell right now. You leave this building lost, you die, you go out into eternity, you'll have to go to hell. You'll have to. Your mom and daddy can't get you out of hell. Your preacher can't get you out of hell. This church can't get you out of hell. You'll never be able to talk your way out of hell. There's no way you can get out of hell once you get there. You'll have to go. But you don't have to go this morning. I have stood by people's bedside and watched them go to hell. Preached funerals of people who I knew they were in hell. And there's no bringing them people back. But you don't have to go there this morning. I tell you, if I was lost, and I knew I was lost this morning, I wouldn't care if I was a member of this church. I wouldn't care if I was a visitor. I would not care what anybody would think. And nobody's going to think anything bad of you anyway. You're amongst people that want to see you get found. But you'll have to come down here and admit to God, Lord, I'm a sinner. And Lord, I'm lost. And I need to be found. You know, Sister Tina, I've used your testimony all over the country. I think it's a great testimony. Because you were raised in this church for 40-something years, wasn't you? But I'll tell you something. And she's been in this church. She's been a member of this church. Before I ever even got here, she's a member of this church for years. She wasn't out there doing all the things of this world. But I've used your testimony so many times. Because I'm going to tell you something. She got born again. Ain't a doubt in my mind about that. And I've heard you give the testimony in this church. You said, well, she probably got saved years ago. It's not what she says. And I'll second the motion. God made a change. And she wasn't out drinking, smoking, dope, and doing any of them things. But God made a change in her heart. And I'm telling you this morning, there's people sitting here that you might even be a member of this church, but you've never saw yourself lost. You're going to have to see yourself lost, or you'll never get found. While we stand this morning, Holy Spirit, speak to hearts this morning. Have your way. God, do what needs to be done. As our heads are bowed, eyes are closed.